The following podcast contains dramatizations of actual events. Certain situations, dialogue, names, and locations may have been changed. Some scenes are graphic in nature. Listener discretion is advised.
Up next, this Thanksgiving doesn't go as planned.
I remember thinking that something there just seemed odd.
Someone's missing, but detectives can find no sign of a crime.
They found nothing out of the ordinary.
Text messages lead to a surprise witness and a horrifying story.
To hear this level of planning, this level of... It's maniacal.
But in the end, this is a case that goes to the dogs.
He's a superhero. He's the one. He has the nose.
The sky was literally the limit for Kelsey Barrett.
She had been interested in aviation from a very young age. She was incredibly intelligent.
She's training our United States Air Force cadets how to fly planes. So she's in a very important role to not only for her, but for this nation, getting pilots ready to fly.
In 2016, the 26-year-old pilot met Patrick Frazee, a 29-year-old Colorado native.
Patrick Frazee is, I would say, a modern-day cowboy. He runs cattle that he has at different ranches all around Colorado.
The two fell in love, got engaged, and Kelsey moved to Colorado to be with Patrick. In 2017, the couple welcomed a baby girl into their lives.
She has the baby, and by all accounts, they're really a cute young couple with an adorable baby.
Even though they had a child together, this relationship was a little unusual.
Kelsey wasn't living with Patrick. Patrick, in fact, never ever lived with Kelsey.
The reason? Patrick's ranch required a lot of work and a lot of time. He lived there with his mother, about 20 miles away from where Kelsey lived.
You gotta wonder about a guy who's living at home at his age, still with his mom.
This unusual living arrangement wasn't helped at all by the undisguised hostility Patrick's mother had for his bride-to-be.
His mom openly would go around and tell people, that's the whore that my son picked up at the airport.
Patrick's mom wasn't very happy about the relationship, so there was a lot of tension.
Shortly after Thanksgiving 2018, Kelsey dropped out of contact for more than a week, which was highly unusual. Her mother couldn't track her down.
She's trying to talk to Kelsey, and she can't reach her. So she's trying to figure out what's going on.
So she finally calls Patrick, and what's going on here, Patrick?
Patrick assured Kelsey's mother the baby was safe. But he also had bad news. He said he and Kelsey's relationship was on the rocks. He said he hadn't spoken to her since Thanksgiving, although they did exchange some text messages. Kelsey's employers were contacted. They hadn't seen her for days.
Kelsey didn't go to work, and that is very unlike Kelsey to do something like that, to not go to work, to not call them that she's not going to be there.
Though it seemed totally out of character, investigators had to consider that given the problems in her relationship with Patrick, Kelsey may have simply run off.
There's just something not right. Something is wrong.
After Kelsey Barrett went missing, her mother was able to provide information on her last known activities. On Thanksgiving Day, Kelsey told her mother she planned to do some shopping at a local Safeway.
She walks in, she gets a cart, she's got her daughter in the cart, and she just looks like she's any other mom who's picking something up on Thanksgiving Day that they forgot to buy before.
Kelsey's fiancé and her baby's father, Patrick Frazee, told police he and Kelsey exchanged the baby on Thanksgiving afternoon. This was also confirmed in pictures.
Kelsey's next door neighbor had a surveillance camera that actually pointed towards Kelsey's front door.
Patrick told police this was the last time he saw Kelsey.
We basically had a heart-to-heart about, you know, this wasn't working out. She wanted to just, you know, go our separate ways.
But Patrick told police that over the next few days, they did exchange some text messages, one of which he found a little concerning.
The text message that is sent from Kelsey to Patrick was, "Do you even love me?" That is a fairly emotionally triggering type of text.
Did you feel like she was safe? You know, like she wasn't depressed, suicidal, or anything like that?
No. She requested I give her all of her possessions back. So her spare keys to her vehicle, her vehicles, her house key. I had a gun of hers.
Patrick told police that he'd taken that gun from Kelsey almost a year earlier, after they'd had a particularly nasty argument.
Patrick said he and Kelsey were arguing, and it was about finances, and Kelsey had gotten to the point where she had a gun, put the gun to her head, said, "Maybe I'd be better off dead." That caused some concern with Patrick, you know, with regard to Kelsey's mental state.
The police officer asks him, "Do you think that she was depressed or anything like that?" And he says, "Oh, no. She was fine, or I wouldn't have given her gun back to her."
She wasn't, you know, depressed or suicidal. She just had enough of the arrangement.
But there was still hope that Kelsey was okay. Her phone was on the move.
The last time her phone hits is near a canyon up in Idaho.
Reports are correct that Kelsey's phone gave a location near Gooding, Idaho on November 25th. We've executed search warrants on Kelsey's home as well as both of her vehicles. We are treating Kelsey's disappearance as a missing persons case at this time.
Kelsey had no reason to be in Idaho, so it really made you wonder what's really going on here.
Police in the area were alerted but could find no sign of Kelsey. By this time, 10 days had passed, and her family was frantic.
Like I said, she doesn't run off, and someone knows where she's at. Kelsey, we just want you home. Call us if you can, and we won't quit looking.
Kelsey's mother and brother traveled from Washington State to Colorado. The first thing they did was their own search of Kelsey's condo. And to the surprise of forensic experts, they found something local investigators missed.
Where this case takes a very sharp turn is when Kelsey's brother looks down at the toilet and he sees what he believes to be blood on the toilet. He contacts law enforcement, and immediately it is apparent that there is what appears to be blood on that toilet.
Now, on the assumption this was a crime scene, a team of forensic technicians descended on Kelsey's condo.
The CSI people were pretty embarrassed. I think they ended up going back in there 6 or 7 times. They're pulling up the floorboards, they're pulling up stairs.
The CSI team employed a substance called Blue Star, which, like luminol, glows when in contact with the hemoglobin in blood.
They find blood in several places. They find blood on a bathtub, they find blood on a light switch.
My heart sunk when I saw that blood, because now you know something bad has happened. And I'm thinking, she's not alive.
The large amount of Kelsey Barrett's blood found in her condominium had investigators fearing she'd been murdered.
We were able to identify a profile, and that profile was a profile of Kelsey.
But the DNA results also presented a surprise finding. 2 more genetic profiles were found in Kelsey's condo.
They did find unknown subjects. There was a female and there was a male.
There were no hits on either profile in the CODIS DNA database. The female DNA was ultimately matched back to the condo's previous tenant.
That was kind of the odd one. She said the day she moved, she cut herself a few times doing boxes and she just let it bleed onto the floor. So we actually found a lot of her blood in those floorboards.
At this point, Kelsey's partner, Patrick Frazee, was a potential suspect and had to surrender his DNA.
Patrick's DNA was not found in Kelsey's condo. And that's interesting. This is a couple. This is someone that you would expect to find his DNA in her condo.
A close examination of the scene provided the answer. Every corner of Kelsey's condo had been meticulously cleaned. The only reason the previous tenant's DNA survived was because she was allergic to a lot of things, including the lacquer used to seal the floorboards. So her blood had soaked deep into the wood and survived the cleanup.
She did not put anything over the wood to seal it, so there's no sealant on it. She can't put Band-Aids on because she's allergic to the adhesive on a Band-Aid. So if she cut herself, she'd walk around her house, let's say like her hand like this, and the blood would just drip down on the floor.
The source of the male DNA could not be identified. Whoever killed Kelsey would appear to have had access to the condo, so that put Patrick at the top of the suspect list. And as detectives asked questions about him, they got some disturbing information.
We talked to his girlfriend in high school, and she said, the best thing that ever happened to me was dating Patrick Frazee. We said, how come? She said, I learned what I didn't want in a someone to date or to marry someday.
In addition to being forced to surrender his DNA, Patrick also had to provide his cell phone. And this proved to be a forensic goldmine.
There's a tremendous amount of digital forensics that the police are uncovering.
Patrick's story never changed. He said he texted Kelsey a few times after he last saw her on Thanksgiving Day, but the locations of the two phones involved in these text exchanges raised a host of questions. Cell towers showed both phones were apparently traveling in the same vehicle while these messages went back and forth.
Their phones are always together. Their phones travel together throughout the days on the 23rd and on the 24th. The two phones are together.
Assuming Kelsey was dead, there seemed to be only one explanation as to why her phone was with Patrick's phone in the days after she disappeared.
What does that tell them? Well, that tells them that Patrick is creating his own forensic timeline. He is attempting to create his own narrative about where Kelsey is, what's happening, and his own forensic countermeasures.
He doesn't realize it. He's actually telling us those two phones are together and they're moving together.
Oddly enough, in the days after Kelsey disappeared, Patrick made more than 40 calls to the 208 area code, which is in Idaho. In fact, 208 was the same area code Kelsey's phone had been traced to shortly after she went missing.
We learned that the owner of that 208 number is Crystal Kenny, and she would open this case wide open.
So who was Crystal Kenny, and why was Patrick desperate to talk to her right after Kelsey disappeared?
Crystal Kenny was a rodeo queen. She had a relationship with Patrick Frazee. Patrick had a lot of control over Crystal Kenny, which I never quite understood.
She's in love with Patrick Frazee. The relationship is very volatile, is really the only way you could describe it. It's also very strange. For whatever reason, Patrick is not done with Crystal, and Crystal is not done with Patrick.
Detectives confronted Crystal Kenny, who said her relationship with Patrick was now strictly business. They said they didn't believe her.
At that point, she goes, I want to talk to you guys. There is information, but I don't want to talk to you without an attorney.
She is being interviewed by law enforcement, and she tells law enforcement what can really only be described as a bombshell. I think everyone's jaws hit the floor when they heard it. I know mine did.
Crystal Kenny told investigators on the Kelsey Barrett murder case that her on-again, off-again lover, Patrick Frazee, insisted she drive to Colorado right after Thanksgiving 2018. And for reasons he didn't explain, he told her to bring cleaning materials.
She meets Patrick, she gets the keys to Kelsey's condo, and she opens up the door, and her description is that she sees a horrific, bloody crime scene.
Crystal told investigators that Patrick told her to clean the scene. She kept quiet and did what she was told. It took hours.
I've had people clean up scenes. I've never had anybody clean up a scene like she did.
Crystal now recounted a harrowing story. She told detectives Patrick admitted killing Kelsey, and then she took them on a tour of Kelsey's condo to show them what happened.
When you came in, what did you see?
Blood all over the floor.
According to Crystal, Patrick tells her that he had a bat, and he plays a game with Kelsey called Guess the Scent of the Candle. He ties a sweater as a blindfold around Kelsey's head.
She didn't think anything of it. She's just going to smell it. I mean, who would? It's your fiancé. It's Thanksgiving Day.
As Kelsey's smelling candles and trying to guess the scent, Patrick then begins to beat Kelsey about her head.
While this happened, the couple's baby girl was just a few feet away in another room.
There was a bunch of baby toys.
It's so hard to wrap your head around. I mean, the way he killed her was so brutal and so senseless.
There was a lot of blood. So they're on the floor, all over the floor.
He wants you to smell a candle and then beats you to death with a baseball bat.
Crystal's tour continued at Patrick's ranch. She said he bundled Kelsey's body in a large tote box.
The container was a black plastic tote that was about this tall.
Then hid it at the top of a stack of hay bales. She said he ultimately destroyed Kelsey's body by setting it on fire. As for Kelsey's phone being tracked to Idaho, Crystal said Patrick gave it to her to throw off investigators.
He goes as far as to have his mistress take Kelsey's phone to Idaho, and he has his mistress, Crystal Lee Kenny, text his phone, "Do you even love me?" So he is going to extreme lengths to try to cover this up and try to make investigators think Kelsey is still alive for as long as he can.
Despite this overwhelming evidence, it appeared nothing remained of Kelsey's body, which was a big problem for prosecutors.
We don't have a body here. And so one of the things you have to prove is that this person really is dead. That's where Radar comes in.
Radar, the bloodhound, is a highly trained forensic professional, a fact that's been legally certified in many states, including Colorado.
Bloodhound's testimony is allowed in court. That's how acute their olfactory system is. The court systems believe and feel that what they do is worthy for court.
Good search. Yes, good look. Yes.
Cadaver bloodhounds like Radar are trained almost from birth to track human smell, and they've been doing it for centuries.
They were actually your first police dogs. Scent goes up the flue and then into this part here, right up to their nose when their head's down working, and the ears sweep the scent up the nose. And when their head is down, the skin covers their eyes, and all the crinkles actually help hold the scent in. So everything about her was made for tracking.
Detectives thought that Radar might hit on something in the stack of hay bales where Kelsey's body had allegedly been hidden. Once Radar was on top of this stack of hay, he went straight to the spot where Crystal said Kelsey's body had been hidden.
And he indicated that there was decomposition odor on top of the hay bales. And he looks and he sets and he's looking up.
Well, that confirms again that we had a decomposing human being on this location.
And with that expert opinion in hand, prosecutors charged Patrick Frazee with Kelsey Barrett's murder. In addition to Radar, a key witness would be Crystal Kenny.
Quite frankly, we did a deal with the devil. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that with her.
Crystal ultimately served 14 months for evidence tampering.
I was pretty angry about it. And Patrick, my feelings about Patrick are that he's a sociopath. And I believe that he doesn't care about anyone else but himself.
At Patrick Frazee's trial, court observers thought Radar would make an appearance, but it was not to be.
When I showed up to court, they swore me in and stuff, and then Dan, the district attorney, Dan May, asked, he says, why didn't you bring Radar? And I said, he's a 140-pound bloodhound. He throws slobber everywhere, and I just didn't think it was a good idea. And the judge, like, said, thank you.
In November of 2019, Patrick Frazee was found guilty of first-degree murder and got life in prison plus 156 years. Investigators say about the only thing that makes sense in this senseless murder is the evidence that exposed who did it.
While Crystal's testimony was vital, the DNA evidence that was found in Kelsey's condo tells us what happened. And the bloodhound hitting on that section of the hay, all of these pieces of evidence came together to lead the jury to only one conclusion. And the evidence was really overwhelming of Patrick's guilt.